Good morning. It's a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, the President of the United States and the President of Russia and their differences at a high-stakes meeting yesterday. As the AP says this morning, they exchanged cordial words and plotted out modest next steps on arms control and diplomacy, but the two leaders emerged from their much-anticipated Swiss summit Wednesday largely where they started, with deep differences on human rights, cyber attacks, election interference, and more. They did reach an important but hardly relationship-changing agreement to return their chief diplomats to Moscow and Washington, and Biden and Putin agreed to start working on a plan to fortify their country's last remaining treaty limiting nuclear weapons. Practical work, but no punches or hugs, says the headline.
Well, let me put it this way. Everybody made out. I think Putin made out because he was legitimized by the president who called for this meeting. The president was put into a place where we had adults in the room as opposed to Trump. Trump was both too close to Putin. As Nancy Pelosi said, all roads lead to Putin with Trump. And on the other hand, there was chaos. So what has happened is the present president has proven himself an adult in the room. And I think a lot of Americans are breathing a sigh of relief that this could happen in this way. Does anybody trust Putin? Certainly not me. But I have to say, the guy knows how to handle himself. And he has adopted to the ways of the current world. You know there's television out there, you know there's radio out there, you know there are newspapers, and you make it clear that you will be dealing in that universe. And that is exactly what Putin did. As for the press, not so hot. They are all over the place. Putin won. Biden won. The truth of the matter is nobody really won this. It was a good thing, I think, for both countries, remembering that the United States is a very powerful economic force, remembering that China is on everybody's mind. So the idea that you wouldn't have ambassadors and you wouldn't be talking to each other was quite stupid. And now we have fixed that to the degree that some regularized ways of dealing with each other are back in the mix. And I think that's huge. And I think it is a great victory for Biden that he said, okay, I called for it. He came to the table. But it shows that Biden is in every way an adult politician.
Well, you mentioned the press. Let's move to the press conference itself, Alan, where, you know, on the right especially, there's a lot of criticism of Biden as being old, sort of doddering, can't keep it together. But if you watched or listened to this press conference, it seemed to me he was very agile. He knew what was going on. He'd even been paying attention to Putin's remarks and brought that right into the conversation and was very delicate, it seemed, with reporters.
Well, I thought he was great, to tell you the truth. I've thought he's great all along. There are those opponents who want to bring him down, who will make these claims of doddering and old. But frankly, I have not seen that. I've seen quite the opposite. And, you know, the fact that he is as agile as I think he is proves that he knows what he's doing.
To the U.S. and New York City. The candidates clashed in the final mayoral debate yesterday. We've seen Eric Adams and Andrew Yang sort of leading the pack. You had quite an interesting discussion on your Capital Connection program this week with Lee Meringoff, the head of the Marist College Institute of Public Opinion, the Marist Poll, who got into this conversation with you about ranked choice voting, and specifically you asked him about bullet voting. It was fascinating.
Well, it was. What happens is that ranked choice voting involves a transference of voting. You list the top five, and the others, like in musical chairs when you were a kid, are eliminated. There's one chair too little. So it apparently works. They've done it in places like Maine and other places. Nevertheless, bullet voting is an interesting one. Let's just say you want Eric Adams. I'm picking him because he is the leader right now. And you don't want any of the others to gain any traction. So what you do is you bullet vote. You vote for one guy, and you don't list the other four. You just vote for one person. That deprives everybody else of a second or third or fourth or fifth place vote. And it's going to take a while for everybody to figure it all out, but it is an interesting system because there have been complaints for years that your person didn't win, but somebody won who you didn't have anything in common with. This way, by ranked choice voting, you get to name not only your first place, but somebody else who you could live with.
Can you live with a religious affiliation and a different political opinion? Rift on communion policy as U.S. Catholic bishops open meeting. Divisions flared up among U.S. Catholic bishops as they open a national meeting highlighted by a sensitive agenda item, a possible rebuke of Catholic politicians, including President Joe Biden, who received communion while supporting abortion rights. This has been going on for a long time. You've always talked about Mario Cuomo, the former governor, of course, and the death penalty.
That's right. Look, the death penalty is the least of it. It's always been abortion, which has been the number one contender for bishops calling out governors, as they did, as you mentioned, with Mario Cuomo. But we've come a long way. We haven't seen any of that with Andrew, or very little of it, certainly not at the level which we once saw. And the fact is that Joe Biden is a Catholic, and he's a practicing Catholic. He's not name only. So one could only suggest that we're not where we once were. There was a point in this country where the Catholic Church really did rule in so many ways our politics. That's not so anymore. And part of that, of course, is the tough choices that the bishops and others have had to make when it comes to sexual abuse of children. They lost a lot of credibility during that time, and they know it. And to say nothing of the money that it takes to run the church, because, you know, people have to give money if they believe in it. And there are lawsuits which are costing the church an awful lot of money. It is very complex. Freedom of religion is very important in this country, and I don't see the kind of resolution that one imagines is possible with everything else that's going on in terms of the lawsuits and everything else.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us.
Always getting up early in the morning and trying to figure out what it is that we need to do in order to keep on going. And David, you're a huge part of that.
Let's keep on keeping on, okay?
Yeah.